Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to an inked up, cruelty free rock and roll episode of Fat Mascara. I am Jessica Matlin.
I'm Jen. Welcome to Fat Mascara. We have so much good stuff this week.
What do we have?
Well, we took a Fat Mascara field trip to the Smithsonian, which we're going to tell you all about. Sounds super boring, but it's going to be amazing. Trust us. Then Calvin Klein is killing it right now. We talk about their fragrances and just how they're back in a major way. And then last, my surprising acne cure, and it's not what you think.
Intrigued. And we have a fantastic interview with the one and only Kat Von D. Woo-hoo. So, Jen, last week was amazing. I love taking the train, the Amtrak, down with you to D.C. Mm-hmm. for the Kiehl's trip to the Smithsonian. As we know, or like as our listeners can learn right now, Kiehl's celebrated their 165th birthday, and they launched a new product, but they also were celebrating their donation to the Smithsonian.
Yeah, they gave money to digitize their entire cosmetic and apothecary collection. So part of the party was that we got to see a private viewing of all the really cool curios and collectibles in the apothecary and cosmetic world that the Smithsonian has as part of its collection.
It was crazy. Like, you know, Kiehl's donated 11 items this year. They've donated hundreds.
But they have shit going back to like the 1700s. I saw some crazy stuff. You and I separated for a while. Did you get to look at some cool stuff?
It was incredible. I was taking photos. We'll put a URL up so you guys can peruse the collections. But Jen, what did you find?
Oh, this is fun. So I know we separated and I was going to bring you back my findings.
Okay, what did you find?
One of the favorite products I discovered in America's Smithsonian Museum of American History.
Do tell.
Was Dr. James P. Campbell's Safe Arsenic Complexion Wafers.
You know what? Some people be like, but it's natural.
But no, on the side of the bar, look at this. It says, guaranteed absolutely safe and harmless to anybody. That's like the subtitle, which I feel like if you're promising that hard that it's not, that it's safe, like,
what does it do?
So Dr. Campbell made these in 1890. It's for complexion brightening and quote-unquote other facial disfigurements. Arsenic.
Oh, gosh.
It's a fish. Can you believe we used to put that stuff on our faces? What's one that you found?
Okay. Oh, God. I was, like, completely intrigued. So I found this thing called Pompeian Beauty Powder. And we'll throw these photos up on our blog, and we'll be tweeting and Instagramming them, so please check that out. But Pompeian beauty powder from the 1920s. First of all, gorgeous packaging.
Love it.
But this is like something that Francois Nars would be putting out, or like Benefit.
Why is it from Pompeii?
That's just the name of the brand. But it just looks so current.
Was that like the height of glamour in the 1920s?
You know, it just, yeah, I think there was a lot of tourism and a lot of kind of interest in, I just know this from my art history degree, but I think that it just felt very like of that time from the 20s.
Wait, that's funny.
It's Art Deco era, so yeah, there was a lot of interest in Asian cultures.
I also found a powder just like yours from the 1920s called Outdoor Girl Olive Oil Face Powder from 1929 for lady golfers.
Oh my gosh.
So lady golfers, apparently, when they put face powder on, if it was windy, it would blow off. I don't think they had very good formulation back then. So this guy invented it. He added olive oil to the powder to help it, like, stick onto the lady golfer's face better.
They didn't have any Neutrogena Sport?
Apparently not. So that was another good one I found.
That is good.
What else did
you get? Okay, okay. I could do this all day. Oh, my God. This is so good. Okay, so this was really an ad that really, like, struck my fancy.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the Lever Brothers Company, which I think
like
became,
Lever 2000.
Yes, exactly. And I think they were affiliated with Unilever. 1838. It's an ad called The Lonesome Mrs. K. And I read a little about like what was happening with deodorants and soaps around this time.
Yeah.
Why gamble with BO? It's a comic strip. And basically, they shamed people, almost like what acne medicines were like when I was a teenager. It was like, don't be a pizza face. And like they had like people laughing at like a poor teenager. This
the
poor person.
Mrs. K had B.O.?
Yes. So the first time the neighbors called Mrs. K, they thought she was charming. Basically, the reason why they stopped calling her was because this poor woman
Let
had
me see
B.O.
That. Oh my gosh. I know. This is how they sold deodorant soap back in the day.
They shamed people.
Oh, here she is playing pinochle with her friends.
Right.
And they're sitting far away from her.
Far away. And then this poor woman is like on her like, you know, Albert, whatever, Edison phone, being like, where are my pals? And they stopped calling her because she had BO.
And then she got the soap. Lifebuoy soap, and her life is better, and she has many invitations from scores of friends.
Scores.
It's funny how marketing has changed. That was the big thing, my big takeaway from the Smithsonian. Like, cosmetics and makeup and the apothecary, you find out so much about what culture was like at that time just by the products that people were buying and the medicines that were in vogue. So I thought that was really cool.
Like, what will they be saying about our ads now in, like, 100 years? So
they'll be like, they must have had really flat faces because they need all this contouring and highlighting. I don't know. But that's good. We'll have to see what they pick from the year 2016 to put in the Smithsonian collection.
I know. Very cool. What a great trip.
Oh, you fancy, huh? Oh, you fancy, huh? Oh, you fancy, huh? Nail done, hair done, everything did. Nails done, hair done, everything did. Oh, you fancy, huh?
So as you know, I suffer from acne. Did you know that, actually?
I don't think you suffer from acne.
No, but this is my thing about acne. Once you figure out what's going to keep your skin clear, you have to stick with it. Like, the whole regimen, 24/7, and then people don't know you have acne because your skin's clear. So I have my regimen.
It's all about maintenance, right?
Maintenance, exactly.
You can't stop.
So I have my regimen, and a big part of that is benzoyl peroxide cleanser. Fine, it works for me. So I thought that was, like, the key component, and I happened to run out
of... Wait, P.S., which one do you use?
I like the proactive one. It's got micronized benzoyl in it.
Okay, nice.
So I happened to... I keep using that, but I happened to have run out of an antioxidant serum I use, which I use for anti-aging, because it... squelches the free radicals and gets rid of all the damage. And all of a sudden, I noticed pimples coming back. Look at your face. You're like, true story.
Wow, okay.
And I didn't, like, connect the two things until Dr. Josh Zeichner, you know, the dermatologist.
Oh, he's great.
Like, literally the week that the pimples came back, he sent me a link to a study in the Journal of Clinical and Aesthetic Dermatology. Turns out, this is just from like a month ago, they have discovered that a big part of keeping acne away is antioxidants and getting rid of that free radical damage.
I always thought antioxidants were just totally about anti-aging and nothing to do with
Me
acne.
Me too, and that's why I used that serum. But then I was putting it together in my head, and I'm like, maybe that was helping with my acne too. So in the study they had, it's a small study, there were like 17 women, and everybody was using benzoyl peroxide, which of course works, and then half of them were also using antioxidants. and those people had fewer acne lesions.
Wow.
Yeah, so obviously...
So did you, like, basically replenish your antioxidant serum immediately? Have you noticed a difference?
Yeah, the minute I started using the antioxidant serum again, the acne went away.
Do they know what the... like, what the link is? Is it that they're just, like, keeping bad things away?
Three-syllable word is always the cause of all problems in beauty and skincare. Starts with an I.
Starts with an I? Oh, inflammation.
Yes. So they're hypothesizing it's like an inflammatory four response. Syllables.
Don't, like, trip me out like that.
Inflammation. Okay, sorry.
Okay, I was like, anyway, iodine. Okay.
So they're hypothesizing that, like, the anti-inflammatory effect of getting rid of all those free radicals is also helping in some way with acne.
Wow.
But I am personally here to attest that it kind of is working for me.
I wonder if we're going to be seeing more, like, benzoyl peroxide salicylate plus and with antioxidants.
That would be a genius move by someone.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's my skin tip for everybody. If you have acne and it's just not quite under control, add in an antioxidant serum. I'm using the SkinCeuticals one, but there's less expensive versions at the drugstore,
too. Is it
too.
The famous Ferulic?
Yes, it's CE Ferulic. It's a beauty editor fave.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 spots on my face. Too much acne to embrace the person.
Yes.
I went to this dinner recently, and it was for Calvin Klein's new fragrance. I felt, like, relieved because I was, like, very satisfied with what Calvin Klein is doing right now.
Oh, what was the new fragrance?
It's called Deep Euphoria.
Oh, not just Euphoria. Deep Euphoria.
First of all, while I tell you about the dinner, just give this a whiff.
Okay. Is this Deep Euphoria?
Deep Euphoria.
Okay.
They revealed a special guest. The guest was Margot Robbie, who is the face of Deep Euphoria.
Oh, she's cool. I like her.
She was, like, 12 times more stunning in real life. She, like... was just super
this is like a mama perfume, like, this is big.
It,
like,
has as the perfumer Anne Gottlieb, or she leads all the perfumer. Ooh, she is like the
this has got like a sillage
exact it. She used that exact word. She said, like, all great classic Calvin fragrances, it has a lot of, I don't know if she used the word sillage, but, like,
which means what for the listeners? For
it means like a trail.
Yeah.
Exactly, like, you know that a woman has been wearing a great Calvin fragrance when it's with her, it's in the room after she's left. You know that she's been there. Calvin fragrances make a statement, and I feel like this one really makes a statement. It's really sexy. It has this amazing note called Black Magic Rose. Good night. Like, I'm sold. but it's also just, like, I felt they revealed the fragrance launches in August. Again, I said Margot Robbie's the face. She's in this ad. They played it. It was so sexy. I was, like, looking at my, like, colleagues next to me, like, oh, my God. Like, I'm, like, embarrassed watching it with
them. I noticed Calvin Klein's bringing back the sex appeal, too. Like, you remember from the 90s when the kids were in the basement in their My Calvins and then Brooke Shields before that?
Mm-hmm.
And then what about this, the new ad campaign online that's been getting all the buzz?
I've just been, like, smirking, reading all of the, like, controversy about it. I was like, you think this is controversial? Like, it was like, yeah, it's a throwback. It's a hint to, like, big Calvin, you know, controversy. But I'm like, yes, they're back.
Yeah, these ads are for the clothes, not the perfume, done by photographer Harley Weir. So there's the one that really got the controversy, which is a photo up the model's dress. So you see her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said panties, but I can never say that word without laughing. Sorry. So, like, you see her undercarriage, if you will.
That just reminds me of Bridesmaids when she's like, can't you feel, like, the heat coming from my undercarriage? Or anyway,
But it's getting us, like, it is sexy. Yeah,
right. And it's like Calvin is a brand to be reckoned with.
Yeah. I think they might have lost their sex appeal for a little while there. And,
yeah.
And they have a new designer probably coming in, I guess.
Right. Francisco Costa is out as of last month, and he's phenomenal. Everyone respects him, you know, to no end.
But it's classy, and this is shaking it up
a little. It's shaking it up. Who knows what's going to happen? But things are changing. And, you know, they just had last season the CK2, the gender fluid fragrance. I just feel like Calvin, both in fragrance and clearly in fashion, is, like, you know, it's a brand to be reckoned with. It was certainly when I started buying fragrances and, like, you know, wanting the jeans and the underwear. It's just back. It's very exciting. It's definitely one to watch. This is a fragrance I think is going to do really well, and I'm psyched about it.
This is going to be my night out fragrance. This is a big scent for me.
It is personally. Not for wallflowers. You need to be, like, on your shit to wear this. On your stuff to wear this. On your game to wear this.
We're here with Kat Von D, a tattoo artist, television star. Lots of people probably remember her from LA Inc. And in 2008, she started her own beauty line that's become one of Sephora's most popular. You're also a singer. I just heard the Prayer single you're on. Kat, is there, like, anything you can't do at this point?
I don't know. Probably. I'm sure there is. But there's so many things on my list that I want to do, so, you know, by the time I die. So I'm sure I'll add to that list.
Well, beauty is sort of what we're all about, so that's what we hear about from you. You're an artist. Which came first for you, like being able to do tattoo drawing or being able to do artistry on yourself with makeup?
Oh, neither. You know, I think first and foremost, I mean, I come from a pretty, like, we were super, super poor growing up, but super artistic. You know, my parents really nurtured that. You know, all three of us, my brother, sister, and I have played instruments since I was 5 years old, so a classically trained pianist, and then... drawing, you know, that was like really my first, you know, pencil to paper.
Like pen and ink kind of drawing.
Just drawing as a child, you know, mm-hmm. And I remember wanting to draw my family members a lot. So I would look at a picture and try and reproduce the image as accurately as possible. And it was really super exciting for me. I think maybe at first I would use drawing as a form of like self-defense, like mechanism. Like if, you know, if I didn't really want to talk to anybody, I could just always get lost in drawing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I still do that till this day. Like, I find myself doing that. I'm like, oh, I just, like, tune people out and just start drawing, you know. Mm-hmm. But,
you just made me think of something when you said self-defense. Like, in a way, you wear a lot of makeup and you also have tattoos. And I've heard this from some of my friends with tattoos that they're sort of like an armor in a way. Do you feel that way at all? Like, you're putting on, like, a protective...
I think that's the same people who, like... I mean, I'm not saying they're the same, but I think a lot of people use makeup to make themselves feel pretty and all that stuff. And I think it's much more an intimate thing. Like, when I think about my tattoos, I think it's a reason why I like wearing long sleeves a lot, because I don't get them for you or anybody. I just get them for myself, you know.
And how about the makeup? What do you do the makeup for? You're rocking, like, I do a kick-ass myself, look right now.
For myself, you know. I mean, I honestly don't leave my house really often, so when I do makeup, I just do it as part of, like, my regimen. Like, I like getting up and doing makeup. I see myself when I'm 80 and wrinkled and stuff doing my makeup in the morning.
It's
wearing
the act
lipstick.
Of, like, it's,
yeah,
like,
it's the ritual.
As if
I love
you were
it.
Drawing something, or, like, it's
yeah.
doing something.
And sometimes I don't, but, like, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's fun to do it, you know? But unlike tattoos, makeup isn't permanent, so you can definitely get crazier, and I think, like, you have that liberty, you know, where it's just going to wash off, you know, whereas right. I think tattooing, personally, I tend to put a little more thought into it, and so the meanings behind the tattoos for me are something close to my heart for the most part. There's some fun ones I have, but, like, they're definitely not for other people. If anything, I think I kind of miss the days when people were scared of tattoos, you know? Now I feel like they become more, like, talking points for people, and I'm quite antisocial, so it's like, you know, everybody wants to... tell you about their tattoos and stuff.
That's funny that you bring it up, because I remember I was reading an old interview of yours, and you said people feel like they can say things to you when you're walking down the street because you maybe look different than them. And that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Things have changed so much. Do you still get comments from people on the street? I mean, not because they might recognize you, but because they're like, what's with your tattoos or anything like that, or your makeup look?
No, you know, I think it's a great time for art in general. I think people have really evolved and, like, looked at, they look at tattooing specifically, and I think makeup too. I mean, we're in a really exciting time for makeup, I think, but where what used to be considered, you know, crazy or, you know, too outside the box or unconventionally, like, I guess what people used to consider ugly is really acceptable and, like, praised now.
Yeah, I was thinking,
like, black lipstick.
Exactly. Like
that,
I didn't
have black lipstick. I had a black eyeliner that I used for lipstick. Now I have two shades of black, or three actually, in my collection, you know, and it's, they're top sellers. It's like, which is kind of cool.
What do you think changed that? What do you think that shift is about? Like, you're seeing black lipstick, like, on really high-end runways.
Yeah.
It's very chic now, where before it was like, freak, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that about? I know.
You experienced it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, did it really suck? I think it filtered out people that I didn't want to hang out with anyway. You know, like, I don't want to hang out with the jocks like, you know, let's get drunk. I'm like, I wanted to write poetry and listen to The Cure. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. But I think that, like I said, we're just in an exciting time where people have evolved and looked past that and see things as art forms, as they should. And that really leaves us with a lot of creative space, you know?
Yeah.
Especially building a brand, you know, it's like, I don't feel limited by my obscurities or anything like that.
Yeah. Let's talk about your brand. When it started in 2008, which probably started sooner than that, came out in 2008, did you have the idea and shop it around to people, or did someone come to you?
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I mean, I never once in a million years dreamed that I would have a makeup line. At the time, I was, I think, on Miami, and the people at Sephora were just getting a lot of calls, like, going, hey, that girl, the tattoo girl, what red is she wearing? Because I was wearing red all the time. And so they were like, who's that? You know, and then I remember at the time, like, the creative development, this lady named Margarita, she came to one of my signings and got in line and, like, didn't get in because it was just so crazy. And later on, we ended up meeting, and they flew me up to San Francisco to their headquarters, and we sat down, and they asked me what I liked about makeup. And I think everybody was just really pleasantly shocked and surprised that I actually, like, loved makeup. You know, I was like I was a beauty insider back
shocking.
Then.
Shocking, you're an artist. I mean, like, I feel like.
Well, no, but you know, I mean, at the time, I was drinking a lot. I mean, I'm sober now, but, like, you know, I was like, you know, I had like half of my head shaved. This is prior to nowadays, you know, it's like, that was kind of crazy back then, you know,
okay.
like, I don't think people knew what to do with someone like me at the time, you know, let alone, like, trust their aesthetics or something,
right.
You know, but I think it was really cool because I had absolutely zero training, you know, I was doing everything super ghetto and super MacGyver about it, you know, and, like, so it kind of reminds me of when I first started tattooing, because when I did my first tattoo, I was 14, and I did not know what I was doing at all. But without the expectations of, like, a higher knowledge, you really kind of are free to do whatever you want, which is good, and it could be good and bad, you know? I just did what I felt, and it worked out.
Like, what do you mean? Can you give me an example?
Like, if I were to know about, like, the capabilities of a tattooer today, back when I was 14, I would be so intimidated that I wouldn't try. You know, with makeup, the same thing. Like, if I knew that I was doing it so wrong, because I was doing... I mean, I've learned so... My eyebrows have evolved in such great ways since I first started this makeup line. Oh, my God. Like, the pictures of the first gondola, I'm like, holy fuck, what was I thinking? Like, why didn't anybody tell me? Like, you guys put
just
that on billboards.
Just pictures from, like, 10 years ago. It's like, how did anyone let me out of the house?
Yeah. But yeah, so you know, I think it's that there's a certain, like, raw freedom that comes from that, and I think that that's I don't know, I think it's cool. I try to hold on to that, and it's harder to do that now, so I have to really separate myself from, like, the beauty world. You know, I don't really follow any beauty accounts or anything. I mean, I did this too when I was writing music. It's like, not that I ever listened to the radio, but, you know, I just keep outside influences out, because I think that they can be really distracting. And then you start, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I have the inner voice that is my biggest competition, you know, and it can be positive, and it can be like, it can bring you down too if you start listening to that kind of criticism. So you know, I have to be really careful with just, like, leaving that influence out.
Right.
Yeah.
But it seems like you do, you said you sort of broke rules, but you did give some rules when you started your line. I know from the beginning you've been all about having a cruelty-free line.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's having, like, an ethical belief system versus, like, rules as to how to apply is different, you know? I mean, of course, I would never go against anything that goes against my morals, you know?
Was that, like, when you came out and, well, first of all, can you define what cruelty-free is in beauty right now?
Well, I don't agree with today's standard of cruelty-free. Like, cruelty-free now just means that you don't test your products on animals. Like, I think if you use animal-based products, you're killing animals, and that's cruel. So, like, to me, I think being vegan is cruelty-free, but that's not what, you know, people will, you know, associate with cruelty-free. So we have never tested on animals, and it wasn't until over a year ago that I revisited every single formula that I've ever made, and, you know, I had carmine and several different shades of eyeshadow. And so, for those of you who don't know what carmine is made out of beetles' wings, like crushed beetles. And and whether or not they're sourced through farms, or it's still, you know, killing little beetles.
So you nix it?
Yeah, so this last year I've spent reformulating anything that has any hint of carmine in it.
That's
and
awesome.
So some formulas are taking me way longer than, you know, like, you know, you could replace some, because it's a lot of the reds and purples and stuff, like, we've used different, like, beets and or more organic or even some non-organic and synthetic replacements. But the consistency is, like, I have such a super high standard. So, you know, I just won't settle for any less.
Now, since you are, like...
annoyingly vegan?
No. I think it's awesome.
It's all about that.
Yeah. I'm a vegetarian. Yeah. I would love to be vegan. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But you are such a leader in the cruelty-free beauty movement. Why has the conversation on cruelty beauty, from my perspective, not progressed as much as other conversations in the beauty world? So, for example, consumers have gotten so sophisticated regarding skincare ingredients, like, I don't want parabens, I don't want sulfates.
Sure.
Or they're like, you know, is this free trade? Like, is this made in, you know, someone's basement, handmade? You know, like,
sure.
They're so particular about certain standards. But you mentioned cruelty free, and it's like, you know, someone farted. Why do you think that conversation is stalled?
Because people don't want to stop using brands like MAC. What a lot of people don't know is that if you are currently selling your products in China, there's a mandatory law that requires them to test on animals. And this is, like, totally antiquated. There's absolutely no new information that's coming from these tests. And it's just a business. And it's a monster machine that, like... feeds itself and does nothing for humanity or the planet or your makeup, you know. But when you look at the numbers and, like, as far as, like, what China pushes through, it's, you know, I got fed those numbers, and they're like, hey, like, this is the offer, like, for you to sell in China.
And you could make millions of dollars more. Billions.
Billions.
Okay, and like millions.
And I'm sitting there going, like, well, of course not. The answer is obviously no.
Right.
Like, why, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out, you know, what goes on in that. And I just think that that's important. And I think if every single company were to do that, then it would be great. You know, I mean, I think you could make some changes that way. But I think now it's tricky because now there's like companies here in the States that will have different packaging for different countries. So, mm-hmm. you know, some will say cruelty free here, but then obviously because they're made in US, and then what they do is they'll make, you know, right. the testing form. You're still testing on animals. You know what I mean?
Has there been any progress? Like, do you feel optimistic about where it's going, and what as consumers can we do to,
I just feel, I mean, I go on YouTube and I look, cause I've like looked at like, what are like the highest rated videos right now that mm-hmm. talk about it, and it's a lot of like really young kids, which I love, you know, and I think that that is really telling, and it's really great because people are being more conscious about it. And I think that now with technology, you've got apps, like I have an app on my phone that you can literally just type in a brand and it'll tell you.
The Leaping Bunny app?
No, it's one that's just like, I think it's called Cruelty Free. I'll double check right now. Okay. Yeah, but I have that one too. And PETA has like a pretty, they're really good at updating, even PETA too, they have like the cruelty free list that they update mm-hmm. pretty regularly, you know. But yeah, so I don't know. I think more awareness is being raised, and mm-hmm. With technology, it's going to make it a lot easier for people to start, you know, weeding out cruelty free products from others, and then it just becomes a matter of whether people want to say no to the other brands, because every single dollar that you spend on like products that test on animals is a vote. It's literally a vote that says, hey, I vote that this is okay. And I think too, I think a lot of people don't really know what testing looks like. And I think anytime that, you know, there's, I know that Lush did a really, really pretty gnarly campaign a long time ago showing people what testing looks like if we were to do it like on a human being, but it was just so, I'm not sure how much reach it made, you know? Mm. But I think a lot of times if people were to see what happens in the testing labs, it'd be so much easier to make that decision. I know that was for me, you know?
Is there anything you've put out, like a product that you loved and somehow, like, people weren't responding to it?
I'm on there. They love them all. No.
Or did anything surprise you? Like, you didn't think it would do that well, and
for
it did
sure.
amazing.
When we launched Metal Crush, this eyeshadow collection, I really had my money on the gold. It's called Thrasher. It's just metallic gold foil. I love that formula. And people loved it. They sure did. But they loved Thunderstruck, which was like a frosty white, which I thought was like kind of a safer color.
Yeah.
People just really loved that one. And so that was kind of shocking, but it wasn't, I don't know.
What about Lolita? Are you ever shocked about the Lolita liquid lip color? I heard somewhere that it was like one every minute when a Sephora is open is sold or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's like 8,000 units. It's a crazy number.
Right. Did you know this is going to be like a winner?
No, I just, you know, Lolita was one of the first four shades that I made as well. And when Sephora came to me about creating the four most perfect shades of red, it was like, you know, we had the, it was Misfit, Underage Red, Hellbent, and Lolita. Lolita was the Dusty Rose. Mm-hmm. And I just selfishly made it because it's a color that I wanted to make for myself. And I would wear it every day. So I'm wearing it right now, you know. And I think, yeah, maybe it took a little while. I mean, it was always a hero shade. People were always buying it. But now I think more than ever with just nude lip trend, everybody loves it. It is really, to be honest, it's such a perfect tone. And I understand why people love it. It just looks, universally, it looks good on every skin tone. And it looks different on people, you know, in a good way. For example, we have another higher seller that's like Bow and Arrow, which I love. I think it looks great on blondes. For my skin tone, I think it's too light, but everyone else loves it, you know? Whereas I think Lolita looks good on every single skin tone. Yeah. And age range too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of the products from other brands that you wish you had made? Is there any makeup that you're like, oh, damn.
Oh my God. Like every Anna Sui component I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, ah, I love it so much. I love the design of the component.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I'm buying...
Smells so good, too.
Yeah, she puts rose in it,
yeah,
right?
Which, yeah.
I'm like, I'm really deaf in my right ear, but my sense of smell is so strong that I'm like, I respond to smell like...
Really?
Yeah, I like vanilla, more vanilla versus like antique roses and stuff, which I think that's what Anna Sui uses.
Yeah, it was very rosy.
Mm-hmm. But the components, I love that. I love sculptural things. You know, I made mention of like Salvador Dali. You know, he had a makeup line where he designed perfume bottles and lipsticks and brushes and mirrors back in the day. And I have a few of like original pieces from him that I just adore. I just adore the artful mindness of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like somebody made that with their mind and then later with their hands. And I love that.
Can I tell you something? So yeah. I went to go get like wax the other day, TMI. And this girl was wearing, the girl who's doing my wax, and she had the most amazing lip on. And I was like, what are you wearing? She's like, Kat Von D exorcism.
Oh, yay!
And I was like, I told her you were coming. She was so excited.
That's awesome.
Plugging the podcast. And I said, may I ask, I said, why do you choose Kat Von D? She's like, I love Sephora, I hang out at Sephora, blah, 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 blah. And I said, why do you choose Kat Von D's lipstick? She goes, well, this is what I do. I swatch a bunch of lipsticks on my arm, and it's always Kat Von D's that lasts, like, for the rest of the day.
That makes me so happy.
I mean, I'm not asking you to spill your trade secrets, but how the hell, all your stuff lasts so long.
It's unicorn balls.
Unicorn balls, I knew it, Jen. I knew it.
You guys, animal cruelty. Oh, yeah.
No, can you imagine? Yeah, we worked so hard on that formulation, but more so than the everlasting formula is the Locket Foundation. I mean, I did over 12 revisions on that one to get it just right. I mean, my team like hated me. I'm like, we're almost there, guys. Like, don't lose hope. But I think it's important because you can only release something once, you know, and that's it. I mean, you could re-release it, but it's never the same as the first time. But yeah, the formula for Everlasting, I absolutely love. I think that came from having tried every existing longwear formula at the time, and there was ones that had the right idea, but just the
heart was in it.
The longevity wasn't there, and then like you would get this like cracked, dry mouth, and if you were to reapply anything over it, you ended up having this like muddy mess, and you just had to start all over. And I'm just like, I can't handle that. Or it would have to come with this gloss that like made it quote unquote comfortable, but it really wasn't. And just so I was like, how do we do that but better? And it took a minute, but I'm super happy with the formula. I'm glad. Tell her I said hi. Your waxing
lady.
Oh,
I will.
Lady.
She's amazing. I think I found my gal.
We usually ask at the end of our interviews if you show us like what your favorites are that are in your bag.
Yeah, doctor bag.
Oh, it's like a doctor bag.
Yeah, it's my dad's.
It's awesome.
It has like his little tag and everything. Well, inside I always have like products that I'm testing because I'm wearing all new stuff all the time. So this is a new. Well, you guys have nobody's seen this yet. This is a new shade that it's.
Our eyes just got real big.
It's a dark grape. I was like, I haven't seen one out there yet, and I want to. You know, here's like a super old palette, but I it's so dirty and gross. But I did a collaboration with a little girl that I met at the kids' hospital, and she drew the center, and then I drew the outside, and
awesome.
It was a limited edition. But I carry this because I can do like eyebrows, and it's like neutral shades, or whatever. Here's a Lolita in Studded Kiss. You know, it smells like creme brulee.
I did not know.
I got shit from vegans once. They're like, that's not vegan. I'm like, how do you?
Oh,
you
don't think the dairy?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you can't make creme brulee, vegan creme brulee. I have had it, okay?
Coconut milk, people.
Jesus, I'm on your side.
They're giving vegans a bad name.
I'm just kidding. I love my vegan friends. And then tattoo liner. Here's a little Anna Sui.
Amazing.
You know, they still have that line in, I think she sells in Asia still.
Oh, I've only seen it
at the
store.
I've only seen it at the airport.
You've been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Black leather possesses my soul. Black leather
possesses my soul. I'm counting my blessings. I'm sharing my soul. Jess, it's time to raise a wand. Shall I go first?
Yes, please.
Remember back in episode 9 when Pat Wexler said we didn't need to wear a retinoid or a retinol?
Do you have a retinoid or retinol?
No, I took it to heart because I feel like I've been using a retinol and it kind of makes me red.
Yeah.
So I stopped using it and I switched to another anti-ager that acts like a retinol but is much gentler.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And I'm freaking loving it.
What is it?
Ta-da! This is Restorcy Pro All Day Everyday Lotion 3X.
I'm so curious about this brand because I've always been interested in it.
So instead of a retinoid, they are doing their exfoliating and their anti-aging and their collagen building with a salmon enzyme that salmon in Norway secrete when they lay their eggs. And then the enzyme is what opens up the egg casing so the salmon can get out. And that's the ingredient that they distill and put in here. So it does all the stuff that a retinol does, and there's studies to prove this, but it doesn't make me red or irritated. Do I look like
people have been saying things to me since I've been using it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I still have that glow of like a retinol and fewer wrinkles, but not as red and irritated looking.
That's great, because I'm not into retinols for that reason. I know they work for other folks, but not for me. This is awesome.
Restore-C Pro.
Does it smell like salmon?
No, it smells delicious. It has lovely fragrance.
Okay.
Here you go.
Okay.
Smell that while you tell me about your...
Listeners, I'm trying.
Raise a wand.
Oh, it's nice, and it's a beautiful light lotion. Very nice. Like a light cream, rather.
So perfect. Do you have this week?
So I took this from my desk, my Tata Harper Aromatic Irritability Treatment. Irritability Treatment.
What do you use it for?
Okay. I use it to calm down on days where I'm feeling cranky. I huff it. It's like a little rollerball. It's literally like shove it up my nose, put it on my pulse points, and I just kind of use it to center myself. But I also use it as a fragrance, because let me tell you something.
Tell me.
One time, Tata Harper, the woman, walked by me, and I seriously felt like I was under a spell. She smelled so gorgeous. Like, I felt calm, and I said, "What fragrance? What are you wearing?" And she was like, "Oh, I'm wearing my irritability treatment." And I was like, "I gotta get that." And then
this
I realized
is nice.
I had it on my desk. I just wasn't wearing it as a fragrance.
So not only are you less stressed, you smell good too.
Yeah, you really you smell
raise
like
a
goddess.
Raise a freaking wand to that. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.